and welcome to a special episode of About the Town and this special segment where you can meet the candidates. It's election time again here in Sun City Center, the time when each of us as members of the Community Association is called upon to vote for our choice of those candidates who are running for election to the CA Board of Directors. This year, there are five candidates running for one of three 3-year terms on the board. One candidate is an incumbent currently seeking a second 3-year term, and the other four are new candidates, each running for the board for the first time. In each of these five segments, which will be presented in the same order as they are listed on the ballot, we will introduce you to one of the candidates so you can become better informed about each person as you make your selections. We're also adding a sixth segment, where we will have a discussion about the proposed financing for Phase 1B of the current master plan for our community. Ballots, which are in the November edition of the News of Sun City Center, must be returned to the Community Association office by 5 p.m. on Wednesday, December 3rd. Sun Radio, 96.3 FM, will have complete election results for you on the morning of December 4th, on the Thursday morning show at 7 a.m. Here's our conversation with candidate Wayne Keyes.
Well, we're back again for another one of the candidate interviews, and this time we are joined by Wayne Keyes, and Wayne is running for one of the seats on the Sun City Center Community Association Board of Directors, and we wanted to have him in here and get to know him because, unlike one of the candidates, Carrie Blaylock, we don't know the rest of you guys. So this is the first time we've met you, so welcome on in.
Well, thank you so much, Vern, Lisa. It's great to be with you here today, and I'm looking forward to talking with you a little bit about
Well, I'll kick it off. I'll kick it off, Lisa, if you don't mind. Other than when I was first asked this, I gave a smart answer. They said to me, "What brought you to Sun City Center?" I said, "A Dodge Caravan." So I'll ask you, what brought you to Sun City Center?
And don't tell me a Dodge Caravan.
I won't use that one, although I did own one of those, I think, when we moved here.
It's interesting, a little bit story. My daughter lives in this area, and our son-in-law, and at the time, two granddaughters. And so we moved from the Orlando area just to be a little closer, even though we were already pretty close compared to a lot of people here. And we were not looking for a 55-plus community necessarily. We just were looking with a realtor in the area. She's down in Parrish, so we wanted to be fairly close. And we really, my wife and I were both, you know, we both have a lot of faith, and we really feel like it was divine guidance led us here, because we haven't been, it's been so happy. It's been such a joyful experience to be in Sun City Center. So we just, we didn't even know all the amenities and everything when we signed the paperwork to get the house.
Where, how long have you been in Sun City Center?
We've been here for just over 3 years.
3 years. So when you came to look at the house, did you go to the information center?
No, we didn't.
You didn't know about it?
No. We went there after we signed the paperwork.
Yeah, you went for orientation?
And yeah.
And learned about all the great things.
We got a tour. We didn't have an orientation per se. It was just a very kind information person who took us around and gave us a nice tour. And then we were like, wow, this is amazing. I didn't even know that my grass would be cut by my HOA until after we signed the paperwork.
So, you didn't do your due diligence.
Yeah,
just saw the house and felt
loved. Liked, location, and the price was right. I think our prices are a little less because they are 55 plus. So they're a little bit under the market value for the size of the home.
Yeah.
At least
where did you come from when you came here? I know you're originally from Philadelphia, right?
Yes, Philadelphia originally, but in 1991, my wife is a native Floridian, Diane, and she grew up in Apopka, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Which is near Orlando. And we moved and really raised our family in Oviedo, which is a northeast suburb of Orlando. So we were there. The kids all went to the University of Central Florida, and our daughter met and married a student there who attended law school at Stetson, and he's from Bradenton. So they settled down this way. And when we had our first grandchild, my wife wanted to provide care for that child because my daughter was going back to work. And she was getting tired of that I-4 drive.
Oh, yes,
a couple of times a week.
And, it's getting worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible, especially up near the Disney Haint City area. It's just terrible. So yeah, that's what brought us here. And we've loved it ever since.
So you moved here after your wife is retired, you're retired?
My wife, she retired from her library job in Oviedo, but she has her teaching certificate and she's been teaching part-time since, and she still teaches 2 days a week.
Oh, what grades?
She teaches a like third through eighth grade, I believe.
Okay, so grade school.
It's at a private school, and she does enrichment learning for kids who are falling behind in math and reading. And so it's a pull-out program where they pull kids out of their regular classroom.
Oh, okay.
And it's a Title I program that Hillsborough County pays for. Even though these kids are a private school, they're still entitled to the same benefits if they're in the right zip codes.
Yeah. So, and what was your career before you retired?
My career, I spent about 10 years at the University of Central Florida in technology management. So I wasn't a tech guy like Vern, but I managed student assistants who were fixing faculty
equipment
and setting them up. And it was really at a time when the World Wide Web was just starting. Our faculty were just getting email addresses and some of them. And
that had to be fun.
And it was, so training people. We had labs and I oversaw that. And then I had my own business for a little while doing home inspections. So I have a pretty good generalist knowledge of homes and construction. And then after that, I went to work for a flight simulation company in Oviedo. I found that they were right down the street from me, and I have a absolute passion in aviation. I love flying, and I've got a private pilot license. And I was there for about 13 or 14 years selling flight simulators to flight schools and universities and individuals, both FAA's approved and non-approved simulators.
Okay. Now for the difficult question.
Oh.
Why would you want to be on the board of directors?
Yeah, it's that's interesting. One of my dear friends, my first friends I met here in Sun City Center, when he heard I was running, he says, "Wayne, I've lost all respect for you. Why would anybody want to take on a job that takes that much time? Can open yourself up to a lot of
angry people
and doesn't get paid for it."
And and I told him that, you know, we have just been so filled with joy in living in this community, and the people, that's the main thing, the people we've met, the activities that we've become involved with, that I just wanted to give back. I mean, that's kind of a cliche thing to say. I want to give back to my community, but
it's not actually.
It truly is.
I love, one of my first activities was tennis. I love tennis. And I'm now, after 3 years here, I'm the tennis, the president of the Tennis Association. So we've got about 145 members.
That's pretty good size group.
I play softball. I've played softball every season in the past,
2.5, 3 years since we've been here.
Sun City Center is basically founded on volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reason that we have everything that we do, you know, and can do all the things that we do is because we have people who volunteer.
Yes. Yeah.
And it really makes a difference. It has its drawbacks too, because volunteers aren't always accountable the same way that an employee is, but I think everybody that I know that volunteers does it because they really love this community.
Mm-hmm.
And they love what they're doing.
Yeah.
Now, you said you do softball and you do tennis. What other activities do you participate in the community?
I drive for the security patrol once a month. That's not a club, but it's an activity that a lot of people take part in. Sawdust Engineers, I'm a member of that. I'm in the morning fitness group. My wife is actually does some teaching there too, in the morning.
And
I'm involved with in Kings Point. I'm a member of the Sportsman's Club, and I'm also in Pelican Players. And that has just been something that I wasn't really planning to do, but my wife got involved with that and has been on the stage for a few shows now. And I was doing sound, and then somebody said, Wayne, you know, can you do one of our radio programs where you read a script and you're, and I thought, yeah, I could do that. And they liked some of my accents or voices that I did for one of the shows.
Which one did you do?
I did one called Logic Named Joe. Okay. And I was actually, I had three different parts in that show, but one of them was a drunk guy. Now, I've never been drunk in my life, but they liked the way I did it. So,
so somebody came to me since that show and said, we'd love for you to try out in The Odd Couple, female version, which it's actually, instead of having all men and then two women who live upstairs, it's all women and two men live upstairs. And I'm one of those two brothers. They're Spaniards from Spain. So I get to speak with a Castilian Spanish accent.
Oh, cool.
And, or try to at least. And I'm just, I've gotten to know some of those people through Diane before this. And now it's like I'm creating another family of friends.
You will. You will. We know a lot of people in the Pelican Players. And trust me when I tell you this, they are family. They are like family. Every year for the past, I don't know how long, we have gotten the Christmas baklava.
Oh, yeah. I know Lucy does a lot of...
Lucy
does a lot of baking. I know she likes...
Yeah, Lucy Malacos.
Yeah. So it's just been really fun. And this is my first... experience on the stage.
Actually on the stage.
Yes.
Good for you.
This one is good, you know, full makeup and dress and doing the lines out there without a script.
This will probably air the weekend of that play. I think it's the weekend of 14th, 15th.
Yeah, 14th, 15th, 16th.
So this will probably be airing.
But it'll continue to be on Sun City Center podcasts for
forever.
Well, if you hear that.
Or until you stop paying the bills.
If you hear this show and there's still a show or two left for The Odd Couple, go out there and buy a ticket and come support the Pelican Players.
At Veterans Theater in Kings Point.
Yeah, we'll have to do that as well.
Yeah, I got to get over there.
So let's get back to the talking about the board interview and find out what you hope to bring to the board. Well, let me ask you something first before that, and then we will get to that one. And that one is how would you rate the board? What you have seen right now, and then we'll go into the, well, what do you hope to bring?
I have somewhat limited experience of sitting in on a lot of meetings. It wasn't until I decided to run for this that I've been more attuned, you know, to what's going on. But I feel like there's a pretty good group that's moving projects forward, which is really that's really the what's the word I'm trying to think of here?
The purpose of the board is
the purpose
to move the community into the future,
right?
Help it maintain its relevance.
Yeah.
To today.
So I'm really excited about the building projects that are going on and being a part of that in the going forward. I know there's always some controversy about programs like that, the building program. But as a resident here, I really see it more as keeping our community relevant.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a builder that's still building houses that's trying to make this community attractive to the outside world as much as, you know, a Del Webb community down this, you know, down in Sarasota or up in Tampa or one of the other 55 plus communities. So what we need to do as a community is to keep our campus up to date and looking really good and current, modern, and that's going to help us all in the long run for property values.
Well, when we moved here, we've been here 12 years now, almost 13 years, and the average age was, I think, about 74.
Mm.
Today, the average age is still about 74, maybe tending a year or two younger because people age out. Right. They leave because they've lost their spouse. They go back to live closer to family, mm-hmm. and newer, younger people moved in. When we moved in, we were the younger crowd. Right. Now we're getting to be middle of the road, the average. And pretty soon, we'll be the older ones. And
right.
So we have to appeal to all the ages.
Sure.
Because we have some people that are 55, 60, they're still working.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to provide some things for them and then prepare them for when they do retire this is more that you can do and right. have it for them.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. And I think that, keeping the campus nice and new and relevant is going to help that. So back to your original question about the board, I know over the last year or two, there's occasionally some controversy I see in the papers or whatever, but I think they still are moving things forward, and that's the sign of a board that's working, I think, is if we're making progress on that. And I think that this phase 1B funding, I
wish I could get a loan like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that loan is just tremendous. And I understand from Vern that he's going to be interviewing the Community First. Or is that what it's called? Community?
It's the Community Foundation of Tampa Bay.
Community Foundation of Tampa
Bay. Their representative will be sitting down for a discussion with us about the aspects of the borrowing and the note and all that, because just to give you a little background on it, I don't know about you, but up until the place you're sitting right now, we never were able to just buy a home outright, and we saved enough money to be able to do that here. Mm-hmm. And the community has been, we can't have debt.
Right.
We can't have debt. And when you get a deal like this, I'm showing my hand right now because I'm supporting it. And when you get a deal like this, you go for that deal.
Yeah.
Especially, by the way, my curiosity, how old are you?
I'm 66.
Okay. See, you're still a young kid. I'm 10 years older than you.
Right.
And, my feeling is that 10 years from now, I may not necessarily be here anymore. I'd like to see all this stuff before I turn into something that, mm-hmm. that Lisa uses for a paperweight on her desk. And so I'm for it. And we're going to talk to the people about it. And I'm glad to hear that you are.
Yeah.
That's the question that we're going to be kind of asking the rest of the candidates. And I know that there's people that are against the idea of being in debt. And we'll go into that more when Katie is in here mm-hmm. from the Community Foundation of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of debt either. I like the whole idea of debt-free, but when you are able to get the terms of the loan that we're talking about mm-hmm. and all that interest payment comes back to our endowment, I just feel like you can justify it just on the fact that if we wait until we accumulate enough money,
we'll need more
money. Building costs are going to go up. There you go, $700,000.
There you go.
You're losing ground.
So plus, we lose the connection with the builder that we have right now.
Yeah.
And they're on track. They're on budget.
Mm-hmm.
So we know they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that.
Now, in the last couple of minutes that we've got, go ahead and take it. We're not going to say a word. This is all on you. All right. Tell everybody why they should vote for you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to do that. I believe that I'm a peacemaker and a consensus builder, and I think I'll be of really good influence on a board if there is contention on different things. So I generally am able to be a positive force on boards and with groups that I've been on in the past. A couple of the things that I'd like to move forward, we all have, things that maybe we all do. I tend to look at things like, how could this be done better? I'm always trying to think of how can we improve things? Even if you love what you have, there's always ways to improve it. And one of the things that I've been thinking about for 2 years is, or even longer than that, is the guest pass procedure.
you know, sending somebody over to the gym or to the office and paying your $2 and having somebody sit at the desk and hand write things out. I feel like, hey, we're in the 21st century here. There ought to be a way that we could improve that system to better serve our community and the clubs too, because indirectly they're the ones who, well, they don't enforce the rule, but you know, you look for guest passes sometimes if you're on the tennis court or that sort of thing. So, you know, with iPhone technology we have now, I feel like there's a way that we could create an app for the guest passes and have use Apple Pay and pay the $2 or maybe buy 10 up ahead like you would on a toll on your car and, you know, use up $2 at a time and have a picture pop up with the name of the person who's the guest on your phone. And maybe even we could integrate some sort of a scanning system around the campuses, two or three or four, where people would scan their phone like you would at the airport for your boarding pass, just to kind of check in that guest pass person. And I think that it could actually generate some money up front if we did say, okay, you have to buy $10 worth or $20 worth of guest passes to put onto your into your account and then work off of those. And we could kind of build up a fund to pay for some of these technological improvements. Another thing I've been thinking about is how can we better exploit the fact that we're a 501c3 corporation? And this is where I have to be a little careful because I don't know the 501c3 laws as far as our nonprofit status in the CA and what insurance carriers would allow or not allow. But if we're all members of this community association and that that community association had assets that we could, well, one thing I was thinking about is maybe we could have a minivan or a pickup truck or a small box truck that are owned by us as a CA and that you go through a checkout program on your phone to say, oh, I need to borrow that. I've got to move a couch on a certain day. I want to borrow this. And we are able to, as a community, own some of these assets that we could all take advantage of. If you have family coming in at the airport and you need an extra seat or two in that car, you could use a minivan to go pick up people or family in for a week. Maybe you check it out for a week. So that's a, I would say, an innovative idea that I haven't heard anybody talk about, but I think it would be a really big benefit to our community to have things like that. Something else I would like to do is I feel like I would like to maybe create or it wouldn't be the CA board creating it. I would be kind of trying to find somebody to start a club, but
a business professionals club or a business professionals advisory council. And as the president of the tennis association, I think our bylaws, or I know our bylaws say, oh, when you change treasurers, you should have your books audited. Now, we're not looking for an audit like a CPA audit. You know, we don't want to spend $1,000 for a small nonprofit club to pay for an audit like that. But if we had retired accountants in our community, retired lawyers, maybe even people who are familiar with social media that could work as an advisory council, a voluntary or a low pay advisory council to different clubs, then we can enhance our clubs and make them even stronger, because that is really the backbone of our community are the clubs.
Yeah, it sounds like you got some good ideas. Yeah. And hopefully the public will,
respond to that in a positive way, and you'll find your way onto the Sun City Center Community Association Board of Directors for 3 long years.
Being a director is a lot of work.
It is. It's very much a lot of work. And for the time that we have done this sort of thing, which is now in our 11th year, we've gotten to know a lot of people
And so, you know, when we tell you it's a lot of work, trust us.
Oh.
It's a lot of work. So Wayne Keyes, I want to thank you for sitting down with us. And we'll make sure that you have the information on how to find this when it gets posted. And again, thank you. Thank you very much for stopping by. It has been a pleasure to meet you, and we wish you nothing but wonderful success.
Well, thank you, Vern. Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You've been listening to About the Town with your hosts, Lisa and Vern Hendricks, on Sun City Center Podcasts. The views expressed on this podcast are those of Lisa Vern and their guests, and are opinions based on the best available information. In matters of law or government regulation, it will always be best to check with the appropriate agency. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again for your next walk about the town.